And we are honored you're in God's house, and we believe that we are moving into a season that God can do amazing things through you, through me, the local church. And today we're going to talk a little bit about that and how God wants to use us through Thanksgiving, through Christmas, through the new year. We're moving into what I would refer to as the most strategic time the church has to reach out to the community and help others know about who Jesus is that we have all year long. I love the Christmas season. We'll be decorating here. We already started there in the lobby. We'll have our stage decked out next week. We're going to actually start this afternoon, right after the services, getting everything ready through tomorrow, through Tuesday and Wednesday. And we don't get finished. We'll be here Thursday and then possibly Friday and Saturday and all that good stuff. Getting it all ready for you to experience God, through the Christmas season. And also as a place that you can bring your friends to, those coworkers, all that sort of stuff, and get them here to experience God through the Christmas season. We have these invite cards that you will receive today when you leave. Be sure and get a pack of those invite cards. There's 5 or 6 of them in each pack. You can grab 3 or 4 packs if you want to, and they'll be giving those out in the foyer as you leave today. And as you're milling around throughout the week, we want to encourage you to give those out to your friends, to your neighbors, to your coworkers, all of that good stuff, and invite them to some of our Christmas services this season. Yeah. If you have your Bibles with you today, I'm going to invite you to open it up to Acts chapter 4, verse 13. And that's where we'll start today's message as we encourage us to go out to be encouragers during this season. This is what the Bible says in Acts chapter 4, verse 13. These guys had just healed a sick man, Peter and John. There were some people who were disagreeing with what they had done. And the Bible says this. It says, the members of the council, they were amazed that when they saw the boldness of Peter and John. For they could see that they were ordinary men with no special training in the scriptures. And they also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. And so I want to say today that I believe that's what the world is looking for. It's ordinary people who have been with Jesus that can reflect who he is and empower other people to come to know the same great God that they know. That's a remarkable statement where it says they also recognized him, because what that statement means here in the scripture, it means that these guys were known by a distinguishing mark. In other words, they recognized they hadn't been trained in the scriptures like some of the scholars of that day, but they also recognized that they had a distinguishing mark that they looked a lot like this Jesus who had been going around teaching, and they had this distinguishing mark about them. And today we want to talk about what it means to be marked by God. To be marked by God, because if we come into his kingdom through Christ Jesus, that means God marks us so that we can be a reflection of who he is in the world. And so he marks us typically with a spiritual gift. Everybody who belongs to Christ has a spiritual gift, and you're to take that spiritual gift and to collectively put it together with the other gifts that belong to the local church, and together we're to reflect the goodness of Christ to the world around us. They had the likeness in spirit of Jesus. They had boldness, they had humility, they had love, and they had faith. And where did they learn all of these distinguishing things from Jesus? It was by spending time with him, getting around him. But in particular, Jesus told them what their mission was and how to carry it out into the world through an act that he did in the book of John in chapter 13. We're gonna go there today and we're gonna discover how Jesus really challenges us to step in with boldness, humility, love and faith into this world to let them know about the good news of who he is. So if you got your Bibles, let's turn to John 13 where Jesus taught them how to be world changers. John chapter 13. And the Bible says this in John 13 as this passage begins, it says, before the Passover celebration, that's very, very important, before the Jewish Passover celebration, a big event, Jesus knew that his hour had come to leave this world and return to the Father. So this is the night before Jesus is betrayed. It is whenever he is hanging out with his disciples, and it's at the Passover celebration that was the biggest event of the year that Jewish people would come gather together and celebrate the Passover of what God had done in bringing them out of slavery and bondage in Egypt. And they would come together and they would have this big celebration. And the Bible says at this time, Jesus knew it was his hour to leave this world and return to the Father. So he begins to teach this remarkable lesson in John 13. But what I want to say about this today is Jesus was very strategic in the timing of what he taught here in John 13. He was very strategic in what he did on a cross. The Bible says at just the right time, he came into the world and reflected who he was to us. And so I want us to know today that timing is everything. In other words, we have to really consider timing whenever we're strategically reaching out to the world as a church. And that's why I love this season. This is why I love the Christmas season, the Thanksgiving season, because it's a time when families gather together. It's a time when people are out and about shopping and getting gifts. It's a time of giving and receiving. It's a time of celebration. Just like the Passover feast was a great, great time, people gathering together. This is a strategic time of the year for the local church to begin to be the hands and feet of Jesus and do amazing things in the world around us. It is a time of holiday. It's a time of gathering. And so Jesus chose a strategic time to begin to teach this lesson, but also to show his great love on a cross. He chose this strategic time. And I do believe that Christmas time is a strategic time for us too as a church. But not only did Jesus choose a strategic time, the Bible says he also taught these disciples how to do things in a strategic way. John 13, verses 3 and 4 says this, that Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything and that he had come from God and would return to God. So he got up from the table. He was at the table. He took off his robe. He wrapped a towel around his waist and he poured water into a basin. And then he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with a towel, the towel he had around him. And so this was a strategic way for him to teach the disciples how to show people that they matter. And really that's what we as a church are trying to do during this season. We're trying to show people that they matter to God. You know how many people don't know they matter to God? I mean, they're in your workplace. They're at the stores. They're at the line as you're shopping in Walmart. You know how I know that they don't think they matter? Because they're always trying to push and shove and be first. In other words, they think nobody's paying attention to them. And they're trying to shove their way to the front. They're trying to take and act like there's never gonna be another 30-inch TV or whatever it is, a 70-inch TV. Come on, Black Friday's coming. You know what I'm talking about. People are crazy. And it's a strategic time But we as a church need to be like Jesus and in a strategic way show people they matter. And it's not by power and it's not by might. It's by love. It's by serving. It's by humility. It's by stepping back and say, I know you're in a big hurry today. Why don't you go first? Come on, somebody. You know, I don't think the world's gonna fall apart if I don't get a TV. So you take my place on Good Friday and you stand at Walmart and camp out all night because I'm not gonna do it. You go ahead and do it. You go first. Be awesome. So, but again, the way we change the world, church, is through serving. That's why we encourage you all the time. Get involved. Do something. Help us help others. Let's work together. It's too big of a load for one of us. And so, you know, many hands make light work. And in this particular day, everything was about a hustle and a bustle. Everything was about pushing to be the front. Everything was about being the top scholar. And Jesus comes in and he does something radical. He begins to serve. And this is a sign of how he's showing these disciples, we're gonna change the world through serving. Though I am the Lord, though I am the teacher, he says, I'm going to model to you how to change the world. I'm gonna wash your feet. I'm gonna wash your feet. And it was a symbolic way to say, you know, because washing someone's feet when they come in to gather like that would have been something a servant did. And they just knew that that was radical because now the leader is stooping down and he's beginning to serve others around him. And so Jesus teaches these people that you change the world in a strategic way by a serving. So, you know, ask yourself this Christmas season, how am I serving? And not just, you know, serving the people in my neighborhood, how am I serving with the local church? How am I using my gifts, the gifts that God gave me, whether they're administration, whether they're helps, whether they're, you know, whether they're mercy, whether they're leadership, whatever those gifts may be, how am I utilizing those gifts and putting them with the other gifts? Because, you know, the gospel is bigger than just one of us, right? The good news is bigger than just one of us. It takes all of us together to begin to change the world. And though each one of us have to come to Christ, Christ gives each one of us a gift for that gift to be uniquely put with other gifts and us together reach out and begin to change the world. You know, the power of the invite becomes strong when each and every one of us take our unique gift and we begin to do it together in a community. You know, imagine how many people would consider coming in here if they heard enough voices and then heard enough hearts and they enough different, you know, people and ages of people and genders of people and, you know, all kinds of ethnic people. They begin to invite people to church to hear the good news about a Christ who rallied them together. What would it look like if multitudes of people began to invite somebody in a crisis moment? What it would begin to look like is people would begin to come look for Jesus in those moments, because serving with boldness is what Jesus was reminding them to do. So he was saying the way to the top isn't by pushing your way with power and might and titles and all this kind of stuff. The way to the top is bowing down and lifting others up and helping them become who God created them to be. Come on. And that should be the position of us in the local church. It's about working together, working as a family, and using this strategic time to reach out to our friends and our neighbors and do what God would have us to do during this season. It's how this church was started. There were some people who gathered together and said, we're gonna serve together. And we're gonna invite people and we're gonna, you know, begin to set up an environment of hospitality. That's how all this breakfast stuff got started out here. that we do some almost 20 years later is because it started in a living room with a couple of people just taking their gifts of hospitality, putting it together and serving the people who'd come over. I remember some of the first Bible studies we had in our home. And, you know, we would fix a meal and do all of these things. People were serving, using their gifts to get people to show up, more or less. And so what would happen is some people would come to the Bible study, maybe a spouse, a husband or a wife would come to the Bible study, and they would show up and they would realize we had food, and then eventually they would say, oh, my husband likes food. No, the husband wasn't gonna come to the Bible study, he would come for the food. Watch this. And eventually as he come for the food, he would leave before the Bible study. And we said, it's okay. You know, glad you were here today. Glad you were welcome. You're not required to stay for the Bible study because you have food. But as we kept serving food, he would stay maybe a minute longer, 5 minutes longer. And eventually he would stay through the whole Bible study. Come on, somebody. And eventually he would give his life to Christ. Understand, it's a process. It's serving as Jesus would serve with an agenda for people to meet your Heavenly Father. The church should always have an agenda. And that agenda should be introduce people to the one who saved your life. That is the agenda of the local church. Come on. But it may not always work out that in the Walmart line when somebody's angry, that you look at them and say, turn or burn. And they respond to Jesus. It may be that first act of kindness that you show to them in this season. And you say, you know what, you go ahead and go first. And because of that act of kindness, something was triggered in their mind. And they said, you know, I wished I could be kind like that. And maybe the next person's gonna come along and do an act of kindness in their life or show some kind of, you know, mercy to them in a crisis situation. They're going, man, you know, if God is that merciful in these situations and circumstances, maybe I wanna take a look at that God. Then the next person comes along and maybe that person gives them an invite card to Valorous Church Christmas services. And they say, you know, I think I'll go check that out this Christmas. And they step into an environment and they're going, well, that wasn't quite as bad as I thought it was gonna be. And it was, I was programmed one way, but God's beginning to deprogram me because of acts of kindness, because of service, because of hospitality. And I want you to understand all of these pieces matter. Everywhere you go, you have to think strategically about what you're doing. You know, what's amazing is when Jesus ascended back to heaven after his resurrection, he said, go into all the world and make disciples. And if you begin to watch the local church began in Jerusalem, then it began to spread out into Samaria and Judea and then to all the earth. That was Jesus's command. But how that began to happen was through strategic thinking. Because Jesus says, as the Father sent me, I send you. And those first disciples that he gathered with, he taught them how to serve. And as they began to serve others, then others began to change. And then as they continually served others and reflected Christ, what's amazing is this man named Apostle Paul was introduced to who God was through Christ Jesus. And he started a lot of churches on a lot of continents. But if you pay attention to how he did it, he was very strategic. He would go into places where he could have great influence. And as he began to have influence over influencers, then they would go out into other regions and influence others. But he continually followed this model that Jesus gave him. Go in and reach people. We call it evangelize. Establish them in their faith. Equip them for ministry. And then extend them out. See, it's a multiplication effect. And it's really the strategy that Jesus came to this earth, gave those first disciples. It started the church in Jerusalem, that it eventually went to all these different continents, and it just began to multiply. But if you study the cycle of the local church, it is always that. It is always evangelize, establish, equip, extend. Evangelize, establish, equip, extend. Evangelize, establish people in their faith, equip them for ministry and extend them, send them out into ministry so that they can bring other people in. Bring them in, build them up, train them, send them out. It's a multiplication effect. That needs to get in your DNA if you belong to the local church. It's about equipping other people to do the same thing that God's doing through you. And so it is, it's being strategic. You know, our God is a strategist. He's amazing. We couldn't even understand anything about him unless he chose to put on skin and become like one of us in the form of a servant. In other words, God is spirit, but God chose to put on skin and come in the form of a human being. His name is Jesus. At just the right time, be born in a manger, be born in a lowly manger, and grow up as a servant to humanity, but then showing great power over the death and resurrecting from a grave. Yes, Lord. It's amazing to me how God reveals himself to us as human beings. We were outside of knowing God. We were outside of not being able to connect to God. In other words, we were banished from God's presence. But God come and made his dwelling among us. How strategic could that be? You know, that just blows my mind. On my journey as I grow as a Christ follower, I'm still blown away that God would strategically become a human being and take on the form of a servant. So you and I could understand his amazing love for us as human beings. There's all kind of tragic things happening around you. But what you have to understand is God is a strategist. And in spite of all the tragedy that is going on in your present life, he is a God of love. He defeated death. He resurrected from a grave. He showed you his love and his power. It was very strategic. God doesn't miss anything. He pays attention to all the details. So Jesus says, if you want to change the world, be strategic about your timing, be strategic about your way. But also, I wrote this down, he challenged them with a strategic challenge. Look at John 13, verses 15 through 17. Jesus tells him at the end of all this foot washing, he says, I've given you an example to follow. Do as I've done to you. I've given you an example. Jesus says, I'm giving you an example of how to change the world. Now you do as I've done to you. I tell you the truth, slaves are no greater than their masters. Nor is the messenger more important than the one who sends the message. Now that you know these things, God will bless you for knowing them. God will bless you for doing them. Look at the scripture. Now that you know these things, God will bless you for doing them. Because to do these things requires faith. It's not knowing what's on the other end of the love, the gratitude, the hospitality, the kindness, and all of these things you're gonna show somebody. They could retaliate against you, they could come against you, but you know that if you do what Jesus does and you serve them anyway, come on, you serve them anyway, then the God of the universe will supply and bless you with all your needs, because Jesus said, if you do what I did, you follow my example, I'm gonna bless you just like the Father blesses me. In other words, death couldn't hold him in the grave because he had the hand of the Father on his life. He was doing the most radical thing, the most counterculture revolutionary thing a person could ever do. He was taking on the form of a servant. He come as a baby in a manger. He did radical things in order to get people's attention with God's amazing love. And he says, you know what? I'm not gonna make you love God. I'm not gonna force you to love God. I'm not gonna force you to come into the relationship with God. But what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna invite you by showing amazing love with a servant's heart. My friends, this is one of the most difficult things to do as a human being, is to love difficult people. It's challenging for me, and I'm supposedly a pastor. But loving difficult people, defiant people, broken people, people who don't think they need love, is very, very difficult. And God calls the local church to step into that with its various gifts and love the world around them. You know, we're gonna be doing something here in a few weeks. It's called Giving Hope Mall. And what that is where we as a church, we bring in gifts, those of us who have the ability, we bring in gifts and we set up this whole auditorium like a mall. And then we basically let the parents come through and choose gifts for their kids for less fortunate families. We have ways to hopefully, you know, screen folks and do all these kind of things so that we can have enough gifts for all the people that come in that really need them. But the truth of the matter is this, is there's gonna be people here that show up here that really don't need those gifts. They could go out and buy the gifts themselves for their kids. But because it's free, they're gonna come and they're gonna take advantage of the situation. And you know, again, as they do that, I often think, man, you know, these people are taking advantage of the situation. But at the end of the day, God says, love them anyway. You know, it's up to God to do a work in their life. It's up to me to show love in the situation. And some people say, well, you know, you just really can't tell if that person needs it or doesn't need it. Give it anyway and see what God will do with it. It's the heart we give with, my friends. And we have to be smart and we have to be wise and we have to be strategic. In other words, I'm not the guy that, you know, every time somebody shows up and says, I need something, I'm like, here's $100, here's $500, here's, you know, that's not who I am. I try to evaluate the situation. I try to really, you know, we live in a world where people take advantage of all situations. But at the end of the day, I have to look at the situation and say, hey, you know what, God? By the power of your Holy Spirit, would you speak to my spirit about this situation, this circumstance? And if this person really needs help that comes from you and this is gonna help them know who you are, then let me be an extender of your amazing love in the situation and the circumstance. Come on. See, that's using wisdom that comes from God. And my friends, what God wants us to do is use this season, this Giving Hope Mall, to reach out to people who are less fortunate than us. You have an opportunity to serve at that. You have an opportunity to bring gifts in. We're gonna do Candyland Christmas. Now, do people really need candy? No, they don't. I don't need candy, you don't need candy. But the reality of it is Candyland Christmas is a way for us to reach into this parade that's going to happen on Main Street. It's just going to happen in a couple of weeks on a Saturday night. We have games and all kinds of things in here for families, a family environment. The reason we bring all those people in, it's a strategic time. And in a strategic way, we show people this amazing love of God, the hospitality of God. And, you know, we follow Jesus's strategic challenge. We just kind of help each other reach out to these people and show the community love, you know. Is the harvest 100% off of Candyland Christmas? In other words, does everybody that steps in the door come to know who Jesus is? Absolutely not. But what if one? Amen. What if one family? How much is a soul worth to you? What if one family come to know who Jesus was, and that was the family that was going to change the world? Come on. See, what we don't know, is what God's doing in people's life. And every single person matters to God. And this is the season to show incredible, radical love. It's a strategic time. Let's love in a strategic way. And let's follow Jesus' strategic challenge, love anyway. You know, it's okay. Sometimes you might have to come up to me and say, Pastor, love anyway. I might have to say to you, Donna, love anyway. Because it's difficult. It's difficult to love and get outside of yourself. And so we're going to be that kind of church. We're just going to love anyway, okay? And we're going to show God's amazing love in circumstances and challenge and do what we can in order to change the world. So let's get ready for Christmas season and get some of those invite cards on the way out. Love anyway. I know you're going to eat turkey with some people you don't like this Thanksgiving. But give them an invite card. Love anyway. I know some of you Tennessee fans that you're going to have to eat Thanksgiving dinner with some of those Gamecock fans. Don't be bitter. Love anyway. The Gamecocks whipped some Fanny last night. My friends, this is a strategic time. Let's make sure we're being the church. Let's show up, let's show out, let's reach out and begin to change the world. It's a strategic season. Let's invite, invite, invite. Let me pray for you today. God, you're an amazing God. And God, I just pray today we would follow the example, the strategy that Jesus set forth in John 13. We would look for the right times. We would do things in the right way. And we would follow through with the challenge each and every time. We would follow Jesus' example and receive your blessing and continue on pouring out the blessings that you bless us with. God, let us be a church this Christmas season, Valorous Church, where many people come have Christmas with us over the Christmas season. And God, they discover that this baby born in a manger was your love sign to the world. You sent something so innocent and so little in a broken place to grow up and, God, follow you and begin to display to us what love really looks like. And God, we thank you for the gift of Jesus, and we pray that other people discover him as a gift this holiday season. And God, you begin to change lives that change the world. And Jesus, we ask this prayer in your holy and precious name. Amen. Amen.